السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله with the فضل كرم إحسان of الله تعالى. We find ourselves on a day of Jumu'ah and not an ordinary Jumu'ah. A Jumu'ah that is in the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. We are very, very fortunate that this year we are experiencing two Jumu'ahs in the first Ashara of Zulhijjah. Normally you will get one Jumu'ah, and the Jumu'ah that appears in the 10 days of Zulhijjah is more auspicious than other Jumu'ahs. Jumu'ah in itself is so auspicious, but if it appears in the 10 days of Zulhijjah, then it's even more auspicious. And on top of it, this is the day of Arafah. One is the Hujjaj, their day of Arafah was yesterday. But for us, our day of Arafah is today, the 9th of Zulhijjah. The 9th of Zulhijjah is a very special day. It is a day that has two nights. And the 10th of Zulhijjah is the only day that doesn't have a night. The night that precedes the ninth and the night after the ninth belong to the ninth. And the tenth is a day without a night. That is one explanation given by the Mufassirin. So here it is an auspicious day, and we are fortunate that Allah Ta'ala has given us Hayati on this day. So we must take advantage. So how do we take advantage? Currently, sardine run is on in the south coast. So the people that is their rosy, they net the sardines. So when the time of the sardine run is on, so they don't rest. They are moving. Wherever they hear there's a shoal, early morning sometime, still dark, they are already advancing in that direction. They got their staff with them, they got their boats, their crates, nets, and they are moving. They don't know what is breakfast time, they don't know what is lunch time, they don't know what is supper time. They just work round the clock. So they understand that that is a time for us now to make our money. If we miss this season, then we are sitting now. So like that, as mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala gives us Mubarak days, Mubarak nights. When it comes to those Mubarak days and nights, so we don't say we mustn't know what is our family, and we mustn't know that we got a body that has got a right over us, etc. All that is part of our deen. But definitely, we have to show some extra zeal in our ibadat. Some extra that we do compared to normal days. So normally on a Jumu'ah, we will do extra. Every person who has got some love of Allah Ta'ala in their heart, on the day of Jumu'ah, they do some little bit extra. But now on this Jumu'ah, we must do even more. Read more Durud Sharif, make more istighfar, try to read more Quran Sharif, make more dua to Allah Ta'ala. Engage in dua, especially before Maghrib Salah. And those who are Roza, then Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala accept the fast. People that are fasting on the 9th, then the previous year's guna and the current year's guna, all is forgiven. But this is obviously referring to the minor sins. When it comes to major sins, then that we have to make added, you know, special tawbah from major gunas. So, what to speak about? So one thing that was coming to my mind, and I found one article also with regards to it, is that when we read up the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'een, and we read the lives of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, we read the lives of the pious predecessors, then we read their life and we look into our life. And we see that there is a zameen asman farak. like the distance between the earth and the sky. Our life has gone so different from the life of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one is, with the passage of time, the further that we are moving away from the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the golden era, so many influences are coming in, right? And we are getting carried away, we are drifting further and further. Only those people who really have love for Allah Ta'ala, they have love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you find that they remain firm, even though there is a change in the tide, right? But they remain very firm. The other day we were reading about Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharampuri sahab, rahmatullah alayhi. He was teaching in Bawalpur, and the place where he was teaching, that madrasa was then given in the hand of the government. So there was probably like a setup, like how you get the Islamic schools now, they're teaching some schooling subjects also, and then they got some diniyat subjects, some Islamic subjects. So when the government took over this project now, so they put table and chairs, like how when we went to school also, we sat on chairs and there was a table in front of us, and the teacher had a very big table with a little bit more smarter chair. So they implemented this in the school. So now they wanted to put in his class also. He said, now, you know, this is the standard now that we are going to follow. So he refused. He said, no. We always taught on the floor. All our madaris are all on the floor. Our akabirin all sit on the floor. So we will sit on the floor. Our students will sit on the floor. We'll sit on the floor. So these people, they hold on to the asal. Hold on to the asal. You take our eating. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always sat down on the floor. But so many of our homes, even those of us that are connected to deen, right? We may be going for weekly ta'lim also. Sometime the person may even be an alima also. Today, so many people are complaining that even the lady is an alima also, but now she doesn't want to follow deen. In Gujarati, they say, no, chata ilm. You know, although they, despite having knowledge, but we don't want to make amal. So one is, now the Dastar Khan has come out of our home. The dining room table has come into the house. The dining room table, the chair. Now one is, we moved away from the sunnah practice. The other is, where we fall in love with the action that is anti-sunnah. We start liking it. See, one is to move away. The person moved away. And the other is to start liking it and preferring it. Preferring the way of the kuffar, the way of the Christians or the atheists or whatever. Right? So one is our dini way, which we call the sunnat, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for us, right, and which we supposed to be following. Now, for example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manner in which he had a ghusl, right? Now, if we have to check how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made ghusl, and how we making ghusl nowadays, now we see, but now where's the sunnat in my ghusl now? How am I going to practice on this sunnah? Right? Because now we only know how to bath with the shower. Now once you open the shower now, how are you going to first make wuzu, first wash off, now if there's any impurities, then make wuzu. It's very hard with the shower. That thing just hit you from the head now. Whole body is wet. So now there'll be few people who'll want to hold on. Right? And they will say, no, I'm going to use a bucket to bath. Because if I use a bucket to bath, I'll be able to sit. I'll be able to follow the sequence that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed. Right? And now most of us, we are weak. We know about that. But now we got a shower in our house, now we use the shower. So we are guilty that we are not adhering properly to the sunnah. But if this has to happen to us, that we say, you know what, this way of the shower is better. See, it's a fine line. One is we're not making amal on the sunnah, right? So that we're guilty. We won't get the barakat of that sunnah. We won't get the noor of that sunnah. We'll be depriving ourselves. But if somebody tells us that, look, that was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say, hey, kash ke maybe amal karta, you know. If only I also can start making amal on that. Right? But now the other is to have another attitude, whether we say it verbally or whether we think it in our heart. To Allah Ta'ala is the same. Whether we say something verbally or we entertain the thought inside, Allah is aware of it. When it comes to insan, insan will only become aware if we speak it out or we show some expression. But with Allah Ta'ala, Allah knows the inside just as He knows the outside. It's no difference to Allah Ta'ala, right? So either a person says it out or either a person is entertaining that thought, that moment, the way of the what these Christians now, this Western system, what they have developed, that's a better way. Now when we do that, we're on dangerous ground. See, one time, some years ago, I had gone to the dentist. Took one of the children or something to the dentist. So the dentist saw, now our asatiza, our Akabirin, they keep advising us, you know, keep a miswak with you, keep a miswak with you. So now we try to keep one miswak now. So the dentist saw the miswak. So he said, Maulana, what are you doing with that? He's a Muslim dentist, right? Supposed to be highly qualified in his field and all that. He said, what are you doing with that? He said, no, it's a miswak. He said, no. That the days for that is over. You see, now he's using his logic. He's saying, no, you see, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they hadn't invented a toothbrush as yet. So because they never have toothbrushes, so for dental hygiene, they were using miswak. Right? So the objective is dental hygiene. So if you compare a miswak to a toothbrush, so much of science has gone into toothbrushes now. The toothbrush is a much better tool for dental hygiene compared to a miswak. So you don't have to use miswak in this day and age now when you got toothbrush. This is what I'm talking about. One is a person not using a miswak. Right? So he's guilty for not using the miswak and he is depriving himself of the sawab and the reward. But now the person, he is trying to prove that the miswak now is out of order. He's looking down on the miswak and the invention that the Western side or whatever, whoever, the doctors, dentists, whatever, what they have invented. Now you see, no, this is better than the sunnah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we want to use our logic and say, no, the objective is this. Right? So we're obtaining this objective better in this way. Now we're going down a dangerous road. You see, sometime, when it comes to eating on the floor, right? Using dastarkhan and eating on the floor. Just one point on this eating on the floor. Definitely if somebody got an udhar, somebody is mazur, right? They got leg problem, back problem, whatever, and because of that they're sitting on a chair and eating, then there's no problem with that. Yeah? The other thing with sitting on the floor, we must always remember that the dastarkhan must be, I don't want to say higher, right? Because that doesn't mean we must put a table down. The dastarkhan is on the floor. Now, sometimes we have a carpet or we have a blanket or something under, right? The dastarkhan must be on top of that. It mustn't be that the dastarkhan is down and the blanket or the carpet that we're sitting on is higher than the dastarkhan. Mustn't be like that. The dastarkhan must be on top of whatever we're sitting on. And our feet or our leg or whatever mustn't go on top of the dastarkhan. Only the food, the utensils, that must be on the dastarkhan. Right? So that I just mentioned certain adab, that Allah Pak give us tawfiq to make amal. What I was mentioning is that many a time, the ladies especially, when you talk about sitting on the floor, so say for example, it's a wanima. So alhamdulillah, in the dini conscious homes now, on the men's side, they're putting dastarkhan, right? And they're putting dastarkhan and table, right? So at least it's a start. It's not the ideal, but it's a start. One day I went for one meal to one house. The host was a very learned person, right? And he is a person who is pabandh sunnat. He makes amal on the sunnat. But probably he was making the ayat of his guests. So they had mostly table and chairs, you know, these trestles and chairs. And then they had one small dastarkhan. So, you know, whoever wants to sit in the dastarkhan, there is provision for the dastarkhan. So it's supposed to be the other way around. It's supposed to only be dastarkhan. Because we are mu'minin. We are not Westerners. We are mu'minin. So it's supposed to only be dastarkhan. And maybe one or two trestles, Baji can't go down, that person got a back problem, he can't go down. So for the mazur people, the excused people, they must sit on the table and chair. And the standard should be everybody is sitting on the dastarkhan. But now what it looks like, you see that all the civilized people, wa nauzubillah, they sit on table and chair, and these bitara backward people now, they're sitting on dastarkhan. It's made to look like that. These people, they got a problem, so they're sitting down. They don't want to follow the norm like everybody else. You see? But at least it's a start. On the men's side, you're seeing now, slowly, they're putting dastarkhan, right? People make this excuse that no, people can't go down. But in the jalsas, they're all going down. In the darulum jalsas, they're all going down. In the ijtima is all going down. So there's just excuses, nafsani excuses. But the unfortunate thing is, on the lady's side, you won't find dastarkhan. Can be ladies that are involved in the work of tabligh. They can be bayat to a sheikh. They can be animas, whatever. You won't find dastarkhan in the lady's side. Now, when you try to give the ladies the tarheeb, so they'll tell you, you know, you all don't have the babies by you all. It's very hard with the babies, right? Number one. Number two, how are we going to go down with these dresses now? Right? Number three, you know how agru it is to take off the shoes now and put the shoes back on. So those are all the excuses. So the first one about the babies, who had more babies? Sahabiyat or our wives? The woman of today having more babies or the Sahabiyat had more babies? Right? But they were managing now. About the dresses, who said must wear that kind of dress? That we brought about. Who said must wear that kind of shoe? That we brought about. Then this fancy dishes that we brought about. Right? All this fancy vases and everything on the table that we brought about. So they're worried the children going to break all those things. So because we brought all these Western things, this Western culture, we brought into our life, then what we start saying, a dangerous statement. That no, it's better to sit on the table and chair. It's not practical to sit on the dastarkhan. So then, what are we saying? We're saying the sunnah is not practical, and the tariqah of the Christians and the Westerners, that is practical. See, so this is the danger. One is a person is not making amal on a sunnah, he must feel guilty and say, no, I need to bring the sunnah into my life, right? And when he hears about it, he must feel guilty in his heart. And he must always know that the sunnah is the ultimate, right? You know, our Hazrat Mu'in Qutb Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Allah fill his cover with noor. So he used to always say, that you take any sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't know why this memory of Hazrat is so vivid in me right now. I wasn't thinking about this also. The thought just came now. But it's so vivid, Hazrat explaining this thing. Allah ta'ala give him jazai khair. So Hazrat mentioned that in every sunnah you will find three things. Every sunnah will be ajmal. It's the most beautiful thing. Then it is akmal. It's the most perfect thing. And then it is ashal. It's the easiest thing to make amal upon. Easiest thing to make amal upon is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Most beautiful, perfect, and most is, right? But the problem is, we have adopted lot of alien things into our life. So now, because of adopting those alien things, now we find it difficult to make amal on the sunnah. So, there is one incident mentioned, and I thought I will read this out to you. I did mention it before, but here they are mentioning the names. So in this article is written, below is an eye-opening incident of the frightful outcome of an alim who preferred and admired the ways of the kuffar as against the mubarak ways of Islam. So Qari Fata Muhammad Rahimahullah, he was the Ustad of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So he once mentioned to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that he heard the following incident from Sheikh Dahan Rahimahullah, who was a very senior alim of Makkah Mukarrama. So Sheikh Dahan Rahimahullah mentioned that once a certain alim of Makkah Mukarrama passed away. Accordingly, the alim was given ghusl, janaza salah was performed, and he was buried in Jannatul Mu'alla, in the Qabristan of Makkah Mukarrama, where Ma Khadija radiallahu anha is buried, so many other sahaba radiallahu anhum are buried. Right? So he was buried there. So our Hazrat Mu'is Qutb Sahib Rahmatullah Ali also is buried there. So Haji Imdadullah Sahib Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, he too is buried there. So this person, he was buried there. A few days later, another person passed away. So since qabrs in Makkah Mukarrama are often shared, the same qabr was reopened. So what they do in Makkah Mukarrama, they bury one person, then they put like a slab over it, right? Then they bury another person, then they put like a slab over it, then they bury a third person, they put a slab over it and then they close it up. then they will leave it now for whatever their duration, and then they'll recycle that cover again, right? So they have that system. So they had buried this alim there, and now they reopened that cover to bury another person. So when they reopened it, on opening the cover, Sheikh Dahan Rahimahullah and the other people who were present there were surprised to find that the body of that alim was not there. And in his place, there was a body of a young European girl. This incident, our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali also mentioned it. Many other Buzrugandin mentioned it. But I didn't know the names of who this incident is reported from. But in this article, alhamdulillah, they are mentioning one of Fateh Muhammad, who was the ustad of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. And this alim also from Makkah Mukarramah, his name also is given here. So Allah Ta'ala made it such that present at that burial, there was a Muslim who had come from France. On seeing, now obviously it was a charcha now, that how this European girl's body came here. So this young man who was there from France, when he saw the body of this girl, he said, I know this girl. She is from France and her parents are Christian. And she was coming and learning deen from us, that means from him and his wife. She had accepted Islam in secret. She was even learning Urdu, because in those days most of the kitabs were in Urdu. And she had learned some other basic kitabs on deen also. Unexpectedly, she fell ill and passed away, after which I left France and came here. Hearing this, the people said, that we can understand why this French girl's body has been transferred to Makkah Mukarramah. Right? Because her people there, they thought she's Christian. She had accepted Islam secretly. So because she embraced Islam and she was trying to lead a life of piety, so Allah Ta'ala brought her body away here. Right? That part we can understand. But now, what happened to the body of that alim who was buried here? Where is he? So some people felt that this alim's body must be transferred to France. There was only logical conclusion they could come with, that that lady's body came here. So maybe this person's body is gone there. Hence they addressed the Muslims who had come from France, and they said that after performing Hajj, go to France, open the cover of this girl in France and see what body is there. They gave a description of that alim who had passed away. So after performing Hajj, when they returned to France and they opened this girl's cover, they found that instead of her body, the body of that alim from Makkah Mukarramah was in her coffin. So they buried with the coffin. Right? So just on this point, you know, a lot of times you find a person, and I mentioned this the other day, that we mustn't judge anybody, right? But sometimes you find people say, hey, but that fellow, he had no deen in him, he wasn't even a namazi, he was involved in this wrong and that wrong, but he got a Jummah Maut, he passed away in Ramadan, he passed away in Madina Munawara, or he passed away in Makkah Mukarrama. So one is, for us, if somebody gets that kind of a maut, we must have husn-e zann that maybe there was some other act of his that Allah Ta'ala loved, and Allah gave him such a Mubarak maut, right? But for ourselves, we must remember this, that an outward Mubarak maut doesn't also just mean success. Otherwise, kuffar also pass away on Jummah. Kuffar also pass away in Ramadan Sharif. Kuffar also pass away in the 10 days of Zulhijjah. So the main thing is to follow the Sharia. Follow the Sunnah, follow the Sharia. If a person was not paban on the Sharia and Sunnah, and he passed away on a Mubarak day or in a Mubarak place, that doesn't mean that it's not necessary to follow Shariat and Sunnah. You can still get a good death. That's the point. For that person, we have Husn Azan, that look, we were looking at his outward actions. He may have, in secret, don't know what a wonderful relationship he must have been having with Allah Ta'ala, that Allah gave him such a Mubarak maut. But that doesn't mean if he wasn't a Namazi, so now I can say, or it's not necessary to be a Namazi, I can still get a Mubarak maut. Or if he wasn't, the lady wasn't in Niqab, so that means Niqab is not so important. How come she passed away in Medina then? She didn't have Niqab. Now look at this person, he was an Anim. He was an Anim, he passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. He's buried in Jannatul Mu'alla, but his body is not there. His body is not there. When these people went to France, they opened that cupboard there and they found that Alim, whatever description was given to them, that person is buried there in France. So when this news was now sent back to Makkah Mukarramah, that see, that Alim's body is in this girl's cupboard in France. So, this girl's body transferred to Makkah Mukarramah. This is a sign that she is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. However, this Adim's body being moved from Makkah Mukarramah to the land of the Kuffar, this is a sign that he was not accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Now, what weakness was there in his life that could have been the cause of all of this? People are so desirous to pass away in Makkah Mukarramah. Yeah, the man got maut in Makkah Mukarramah, but is not accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So what is the reason? People then said that, look, not to expose his fault. That's why in all the incidents that are mentioned with regards to this, his name is not taken. You won't know his name. You know who's relating the story, everything, but you don't know the name of the person. Right? They never expose his fault. But at the same time, we need to learn that what weakness this man had, that Allah Ta'ala showed it like this. Otherwise, Allah could have concealed it. But Allah Ta'ala made it known to the Ummah, that the Ummah mustn't make the same mistake. I remember some years ago, Mufti Hashim Boda Sahib, Dawat Barakatuh of the Deer, he had gone to a Qabristan and he saw fire coming out of one qabr. Now, Allah Ta'ala showed it to him, showed him for a reason. Right? So he plucked up the courage and he went and he saw the name of the person. And then he found out who is this person's family. And he wanted to know that what was the weakness in this man that Allah is showing me this. So that I can educate myself and educate the ummah that don't fall in this guna. And then when he, I can't remember now what it is, what was the fault of that person. But I remember Mufti Hashim, he's not a person to go around giving bayans. But at that time, he went around the country giving bayan on that topic. I can't remember what it was, but I remember this incident. And I remember after that, he went around the country, different places, talking about this thing. Whether it was, I can't remember. In fact, I must actually remind me when we go home, I must phone Mufti Hashim and ask him what was the weakness. So, khair, coming back to this incident, so they said, now we have to find out from this person's family that what was the weakness in this person, you know. So, eventually, they got some people, maybe some woman folk or whatever, to approach his family, his wife. So she replied, he says, see, my husband was a very good man. He was a very good man, practicing on deen, everything, you know, outwardly, a very good person. However, he had this one weakness in him. He had this one weakness in him. And in some people who narrate the story, they mention that she said she used to even warn him about it. It's not in this article that I'm reading, but I heard this from some of our akabirin, that she used to even caution him that don't say like that. You know? So what was his weakness is whenever he required a ghusl from janabat now after, you know, so he needed a ghusl, faraz ghusl. So he used to make this statement. He used to say, how nice is the way of the Christians that after they have relations, ghusl is not wajib on them. Whereas we Muslims now, we have to go and make ghusl. So the wife explained that he used to go and make the ghusl. Not that he used to remain in a state of napaki. He used to go and make the ghusl. But he used to make the statement. He used to make the statement that how nice, like the Christians got it so easy, how nice for them, they don't have to worry about making ghusl. But now we have to worry about making ghusl. Now, how many times in our life we may be guilty of this? Maybe not the same thing. Right? Sometime a person, the wife is in parda, he is a morana, or he's a tablighi, or he's in a sufi, or whatever, got kurta, dari, all that. And now his sheikh is talking about, no, mustn't eat in the restaurants, and all, right? And now you're driving past, and all the people, they're sitting there so nicely. Hey, you know what, man? They don't have to worry about nothing now. You know, they can just go sit there and eat and whatever. And now, me now, I can't go. Sometimes a person can be traveling. Can be traveling and very hungry he is. Right? He's traveling in a country, there's no halal food. And now if he has to, maybe he's in a traveling business class and we've gone to the lounge and everything, right? Now he can only drink the coffee, or maybe if they got some muffin there or something and he trusts the thing, maybe, I don't know, sometimes you can't even trust the muffins, you know what they're putting inside, right? That's another topic for another day. What I must do now, while this topic came about, and my father, Allah Ta'ala for his cover in Noor. So we were living in Ladysmith those days. So there was one Portuguese fellow had one bakery. So we used to go and buy this Black Forest cake. And that cake will stay soft whole week. You try to make it at home, it stays soft 1-2 days after it starts getting hard. So eventually when we had come to Pietermaritzburg, so there was another Portuguese person had a bakery in Pietermaritzburg. So one day my father asked him. So my father used to go there to buy rye bread. Hakim had put him on the diet rye bread. The only place he could get at that time was from that bakery. So he used to go to buy the rye bread. So he saw that Black Forest cake. So he asked this person. Now by then they had stopped buying all these ready-made cakes and all that. But he asked that person. He said, see, tell me something. There was a Portuguese person, Ladysmith, they used to make that thing. You too, you're making this thing. What secret you all got? Because our families are making it, it don't stay soft like how. So that person said, no, you see, in the mix, you must just put one pot of brandy. He said, the brandy preserves the freshness. See? Now, whether he said brandy or whiskey or whatever, but some haram thing, alcohol drink. This is why it's so, how do you just trust a non-Muslim? How do you trust a non-Muslim? So that's the topic, as I said, for another day. Coming back to what we're saying, now sometimes the person is traveling, right? Maybe he's even in Jamaat too. Maybe he's going for Umrah, Hajj, whatever. And now you're in that airport there, and you're hungry. And now this kuffar, now they can just go, they're taking different things and they're eating and you can only drink the coffee. Now, if the person has to say, hey, this fellow's what is so easy, man. Anyway, they can just eat. We have to worry now what we're eating. Now, what disastrous consequences can be? I remember our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that one person, he came to Madina Munawwara And he just made a statement. He said that the yogurt or the cream, you know, of his place where he's coming from is better than the one of Madina Munawwara. So that night, he had a dream. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in a dream. And Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, get out. Leave my city, go. If the yogurt there is better than why you came here, leave and go. So we must understand this iman, what a ni'mat it is. To be a ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a great thing it is. Each and everything must be beloved to us, sacred to us. If out of our weakness we're not making amal, we must agree it's my khami, my weakness, my kamzori. But the beauty is in that. Don't ever let this fashion, kuffar lifestyle, Western ways, we must never become overawed with it and then start preferring it. Never ever start preferring it. Right? Always know that our deen, what Allah has given us, that is the best. There can't be anything better than it. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, the height of piety is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's nothing more. The height of piety is the sunnah of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Tomorrow is the day of Eid. Allah ta'ala accept everybody's qurbanis. Give us tawfiq that we carry it out in the proper manner, proper method. You know, even in our qurbanis too, we mustn't just get carried away now in the moment and forget all our parda, forget all our laws of deen. We get so focused just on the slaughtering of the animal that after that, everything else of deen we throw out the window. Then what type of a qurbani is that? So Allah ta'ala keep everybody safe, keep with afiyat. Allah ta'ala accept. Allah ta'ala keep us with strong iman, give us tawfiq to make amal on the sunnah, and Allah ta'ala give our khatima also on iman. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.